Well, hi, my name is Pastor Seth. That's what it says on my birth certificate. Do you believe that? Actually, it's not Pastor Seth. My name is Seth. Pastor is nowhere on my birth certificate. It's just Seth. But I do serve the Lord as the pastor of Calvary Chapel Fargo, which we discovered that we were out hiking out by Canyon Falls. And if you keep on that trail from Canyon Falls, you can actually go back to Fargo by foot and walk all the way back. Been tracking my daughters all summer long. And so, you know, when they settle down to rest at night in the building next door, that I am exactly 395 miles as the crow flies from M26 in Lorium, Michigan. So a bit far away. Find your way in your Bibles this morning to Numbers chapter 13. And you're going to need verse 30. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Son of God. And we ask of you today that you would teach us all things concerning the truth that is in Jesus related to overcoming faith. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. We ask today that you would set upon us that wonderful power of keeping by the Holy Spirit, that today when we listen to the Word of God, we would believe what you say. Lord, I ask that you would help the congregation find the book of Numbers. And Lord, that we would take to heart the very Word of God, and we would listen to you today. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, was back up here in April and looked back at what I had shared in April, and I had brought forth this truth and understanding from the book of Judges. Back in Fargo, I've been teaching book of Judges now for 13 weeks. We finally got to the part of Samson, the one that maybe someone yet in the world might know the story of Samson and Delilah. But we've been studying this most wonderful truth, how we as believers are not to live like the world. And just looking back at these things and considering such that what I have to share with us today, Numbers 13:30, I've entitled today, Faith in the Face of Unbelief. Faith in the Face of Unbelief. Now, as I set this forth and study, consider, bringing before you what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me, in Numbers chapter 13, it's where the spies go out to spy out the land. You might recall this, where Moses sends out 12 men, one from each tribe, to go into the land of Canaan. So they're going to go up and possess the land. In order to possess the land, they have to get rid of or dispossess all those peoples who are living in that land, the Canaanites, whom God is going to judge because of their wickedness. It's not usually remembered because it's a very nice, convenient thing to forget, that God judges the wicked. And as he has prepared a land given by promise unto Abraham, 400 years in bondage and slavery in the world, the oppressing, ruthless hand of the king of this world, Pharaoh, God sets them free, and they still are to go up and possess what God has for them. In Numbers chapter 13, they send out the spies, and you get all their names, but the ones that become notable, I don't think anybody that I've ever met has memorized the name of the 10 spies. Did I say 13 spies? 12 spies, 12 tribes. If I said 13, chapter 13, 12 spies. Okay, just in my mind, get that squared away. Two out of the 10 we remember, Joshua and Caleb. But the other 10, their names are listed, but I don't think I've ever heard a Bible study on how to be like the 10. See, we come to chapter 13, and they all went in, they all came back, they all saw the same things. They saw the giants in the land, and it's exciting, and at the same time, it is difficult to consider what's ahead. And in chapter 13, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He quieted everybody down. They're all talking about the cities, the giants. Giants, what's a giant? Tell me about the cities. High walls. Giants build big things. And as he's laying that forth, Caleb quiets the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." When I picked this title today, Faith in the Face of Unbelief, I need you to understand what I'm thinking about. I'm not talking about a faith to get by. I'm talking about a faith that rises up and overcomes this world. The understanding out of the Greek in the New Testament concerning overcoming is the Greek word nikeo, again, where there's a shoe brand out in Oregon that named their shoes after this Greek god named Nike to instill that you should buy our shoes so you can win when you wear our shoes. It's all subtle, but that's what's behind their thoughts in choosing names that the world uses. But I remind you, what has overcome this world is our faith. I want to stir you up today. I didn't come here to bring you news from a far place that we're just barely getting by and serving Jesus is okay. And this is about our faith in the face of unbelief. Now, I describe this. I need you to understand, and we'll just read a little bit more in Numbers 13. Caleb quiets the people. Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to gain the victory over the giants. We're well able to overcome that which is facing us. Why? Because God gave it to us. Now, how it plays out, the men that went up with him said, we are not able. 13:31, the rest of the people are saying, it can't be done. We are not able. It's too hard. Quit now. Don't start. And they say, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In your heart and your mind, do you know 1 John 4:1 by memory? Do you know 1 John 4:1 by memory? Draw your attention, or you can turn there if you don't know it from memory, but it goes like this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, you're going to need 1 John, so I'm going to turn there anyway, even though I've written that one in my heart. I encourage you to believe the word of God. If we're going to have faith that overcomes the enemy of this in this world, we are going to need to believe what God said to us. So 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we need 1st John chapter 4. Beloved, oh yeah, see, I only memorized part of the verse, didn't I? We start here today. Faith that overcomes in the face of unbelief begins with this wonderful truth. You are the beloved of God. If you receive this beginning of the word today, you're born of God, you are to know you are beloved of God. I could sit and talk about this all morning, and I might. And just to remind you, God loves you. God has to love you because God is love. Just start to hear that as one who has believed and received Jesus, born of God, God loves you. Now, would a loving God send his people Israel into a land? Would a loving God send his people into a land that he has promised to give them only to have them killed by the giants who dwell there? Now, that should sound absurd, shouldn't it? It should sound absolutely absurd because we can look at the children of Israel and we can look at their lives and we can look at and we can see Caleb, and we can see Joshua, and we can see the 10, and it would be absolutely absurd to think that a loving God would send them in there. What a trick it would be of God to save them out of Egypt by a mighty hand with all these judgments upon the gods of this world, bring them out into the wilderness and prepare them, give them worship, give them that place where God will dwell with them and says, we're going up into the promised land, and they say, ha ha, you're going to die in there. See, and I am calling us today to stir us up to this faith that in the face of unbelief will believe the very love of God that he has for you. A loving God who has been watching absolutely everything you do. Now that can be good news, can't it? God sees absolutely everything you do. Guess what? It can also be the bad news, that God sees absolutely everything we do. But faith in the face of unbelief, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't you love that truth? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:4, that's the one I really want. You see that verse? 1 John 4:4, Ye are of God, little children. Now, let's just secure this right now. To all who believe Jesus Christ, to all who receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to all who believe Him, to all who receive Him, He gives them the power, strength, ability to become children of God. And that's exactly what you are. And having believed and received, child of God, so this wonderful truth, to believe this love that God has for you, you've overcome them. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Who's the them? The other spirits that are in the world that are contrary to Jesus Christ. He describes the spirit of Antichrist. He describes the spirit who works in the children of disobedience. We know him better as Satan, the devil, the spirit. We don't see him, but we know he's at work. Anybody want to question in the face of the unbelief in this world if Satan actually has a foothold and works in the lives of other people, drawing them into sin, drawing them into all kinds of things that are contrary to God? But for us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I don't know if you listen to the news, watch the news, or pay any attention to that, but you're like, this stuff's crazy. I don't understand anymore what's going on in the world. Good. They're not of the world. The more I listen to where this is headed, I'm like, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen, that what the world wants to do. They want to kill our future by killing the fruit of the womb. Like, what a bizarre thing that you would kill your babies. And like, this world is, I don't understand it. I'm not of this world. But then this wonderful truth has to come forth. Back to Numbers 13, if you jump back there with me, and we'll be back. Just keep both. Verse 31, the people of God said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, Caleb, in the face of unbelief, actually believes that the power of God is greater than all the power of the nations and their strong cities and their stature and their entrenchment. In other words, he actually believes that by faith, God loves them and would not send them into a place that they would not be able to overcome the opposition that's there. Now, training your ear today to hear the Holy Spirit, to apply it in your own life. I don't know your lives. You know your life. The Holy Spirit sees, the Holy Spirit knows, but you train your ear to hear the Holy Spirit, that he begins to speak to you. You are well able to overcome. That's the voice of faith in the face of unbelief. Oh, you'll hear the other voice, right? You'll hear the other voice. You are not able. This is the battle. This is where Caleb stands. He quiets the people. The other men that went up said, we're not able. And they brought an evil report of the land. You see that in verse 32? 13:32 of Numbers is a lie. 13:32, those men lied. So when the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, what do you know about the spirit that's in this world? Well, he's a liar. Right? Father of lies, according to John chapter 8. He's not of the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his native tongue. That's his accent. He's local, right? His native tongue is lying. His accent is always a lie. And it's important for us to hear that, because faith in the face of unbelief, This wonderful truth, and we know how it goes. I think this wonderful truth is, God loves you. That's the wonderful truth. How do I know that God loves you? Well, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you're still a yet sinner, God still loves you. And he loves you while you're yet a sinner, and then you can say what? Not a sinner anymore. Well, what do we say? Sinner saved by the grace of God. See, this wonderful love that is to be true for each and every one of us. The evil report that the others brought of the land, they said that the land is, again, the land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Do you know what that land really was like? God watered it. They came out of Egypt and they were water carriers. You want to grow vegetables in Egypt, what do? You carry a bucket or you dig a ditch. You bring the water to the seed. This wonderful truth this land that belonged to them by promise, this land of Canaan, God, in the way that he did the weather patterns, he brought the water. It's not an evil land. Okay. When he describes the land eats up the inhabitants thereof, you look around and say, man, that land in Canaan did not eat up the inhabitants of the land. In fact, if you didn't have a place to dwell, you could actually live off the land. How do I know this? Because every 7 years, God commanded them to give the land a rest and that they could subsist off of everything that grew on its own in the seventh year. Man, does God love his people. Could you imagine every 7 years, every 6 years you work, you had the seventh year off from all your labors? I asked my daughters, like, this is best summer they've been up here. Best summer you ever had? Like, best summer. Why? Yeah, we haven't had to do our regular work. They were able this summer by the grace of God to put off their daily, 12-hour days that they were working, again, preparation, whatever that might be, 8 to 10-hour days. And could you imagine God having a place where he would then command that he would give his people seventh year off? What an amazing thing. See, this land is not evil. It does not eat up the inhabitants. But then look at this phrase in 1332. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Aha! Giants, sons of Anak. In our own sight, we're grasshoppers. Now, when Caleb saw the same things, right? See, when I was here in April, I was calling forth for Ben to be a Caleb of a man up here. Now, what do I mean by that? One who believed, received, and then I'll add the other word, endured. See, because Caleb and Joshua, you know how the story goes in Numbers 13, they do not go up into the land. Caleb is saying, we are well able, but all those other voices are saying, we are not able. And through the lies, and listen, sin of unbelief, they didn't believe that God would love them and give them an inheritance. Now, let's apply some wonderful New Testament truth to what I share with us today. God has an inheritance for all of his children. Prepared, kept, reserved in the heavens, and its glory of riches. And again, what kind of riches? Riches of mercy and riches of grace. In the place where the wealth of this world is not valuable. In the place where the true riches are that which will grant unto you the inheritance. What is your true riches? I would remind you, it's your faith in God. That you believe him. You believe God's love that he would have for you. Now, what does God really need to do then with us here? Okay. While we're still here, we're to be like Caleb, having faith in the face of unbelief. When he quieted the people and says, we are well able to overcome. You hear that word victory. Okay. We are well able to overcome. I work with people on one-on-one. I meet with people in groups. And again, this faith that is well able to overcome. When I talk with someone, no matter how bad, I will be listening to the trials, difficulties, sufferings, no matter what giants have a stronghold in their personal life, I am always able to say unto them, God is well able to overcome whatever trouble you're going through. And he loves you. He loves you. Now, when I get onto this study and it gets onto this, this is the wonderful truth. To overcome. So when you hear faith in the face of unbelief, Caleb of a man, my exhortation is to keep yourself through all the trials of endurance of 40 years of... Come on in or stay out? Is that just wind? Is it the Holy Spirit wind? Come on in, right? See, when you have to keep yourself like Caleb, they turn back. And what does God say? For each of the days that you were in that land, you're going to spend a year. In other words, you thought this was hard to go up and take the battle now. What does God say? You're going to wait. And all of those of that generation who did not believe God, in the sin of unbelief hardened their hearts, did not enter in. Hebrews 3 and 4, if you're wondering where I think about that from the New Covenant. See, what I describe unto you, Caleb had to keep himself. Here's my word to you. Keep yourself in the midst of sin, rebellion, and unbelief. Keep yourself. See, there's the keeping power of God, that by faith greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And by faith, you keep yourself in, as Jude called it out. What did Jude say? Jude said there's sin, rebellion in the world. Always was. Look at Korah, right? Look at Balaam. He just pulls out these Old Testament characters and says there is always sin and rebellion and unbelief right in the midst of the people of God. God would not have it another way. You know how crazy that sounds? I don't know if you read Jesus, his words, and he's teaching about the kingdom of God. What do you mean that the enemy came and sowed false seeds that resulted in a fruitless appearance-like Christian right together with those that are truly wheat? You have tares. And you don't know it until what? Until they all grow up together. So don't be surprised when sometimes someone is just like removed from, and you're like, well, how did that ever happen? God said it would be that way. Why? So that you, who, like Caleb, endures, remains steadfast, faith in the face of unbelief. Now, if I could convince you of one thing today, I would love to convince you of this. We are well able to overcome. And if I would say it to each and every one of you in your personal situations as you hear the Holy Spirit, whatever difficulty is in your life personally is yours to hear very clearly from the Lord, because I stand up like Caleb, one who stands up in the face of unbelief. My faith as a pastor really is to help everybody understand, I really believe the things that Jesus said to us. That's what Caleb does. Sometimes you got to quiet the people like Caleb did. Okay, settle down. I know this seems like it's over, but let me just show you something. I meet with people like, my wife's going to divorce me, or my husband's going to divorce me, and they bring and then they bring this whole thing to bear, and I take them all the way through, and I quiet them down, and then I say, you will get through to the other side. Let me tell you about the love that God has for you. And just to stir this up. So what do I want to bring to us? I've got four different things I'm going to bring to you. I don't think I have enough time to bring them all. So I want to get to the heart of this matter. In 1 John chapter 4, back to that. This way I don't have to send you all over the whole Bible. I already sent you to Numbers 13. You're like, where's that? But we're well able to overcome. What do you need to overcome personally? It's this, that God loves you. Right? Would a loving God send me into a land to fight against giants, to give me the land only to kill me? The answer should be absurd. Say, God wouldn't do that to us. Caleb says we are well able to overcome. I'm telling you, we are well able to overcome in our personal lives. But how about this? Can you overcome for others? 1 John 4, I left off in verse 5, speaking of the other spirits. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Do you think how sinister it was in our world, how Roe v. Wade was overturned, but they did not judge what? They did not judge it wrong to kill the babies in the womb. All they had to do was agree in righteousness and say what? It is wrong for people to kill the fruit of that life that's within. Now, when I'm saying this, if you have had an abortion, I need you to know this, God forgives. That might be even one of the things. I'm up here talking on a Sunday morning, and I'm taking a stand against the unbelief and the deception of the world. And maybe you've partaken of that. And all of a sudden, Satan wants to weaponize the words from the pulpit. And you have to hear this. Say, God forgives your sin. What a beautiful thing. God never comes back to say to you, look at your sin. I bring it back up again. Whenever it comes back up, you know who's bringing it back up? That's the accuser of the brethren, who in Revelation 12 is cast down to the earth. And when he's cast down to the earth, the only way those on the earth overcome him, because they're overcomers too, is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, I lay this out. That's what this is all about. That's what this is about, is I believe in the Son of God because he died on the cross to reveal the love that God has for sinners. That he would pay the price, that he would actually put his spirit within. We are of God. This is 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. I know that I'm speaking a foreign language many times to people when I even share the gospel with them, or I meet people and it's like they do not connect with me. Oh, you're of the world, right? Ah, I'm not of the world. So how do you not hear when I'm talking to you about the Son of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of the cross and the love of the cross? And like those who are not of God do not hear that. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Very straightforward. You are here today listening to the word of God, and can you hear the spirit and you hear the love that God has for you? And you know this. And this is where the heart of the Bible study now reaches us today. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. If there was ever a place to live out this truth, it's right here. Right? This is what God gives in church. Let us love one another. Love is of God. This is agape. This isn't some other idea of love. In fact, the world has a definition of love, and it's ugly. I think of how many women have been lied to by a man that says, I love you, only to destroy her life. You ever stop and consider that one? The man in her life says, I love you, and he turns and says, you do this for me. And then when he's done with her, what does he do? Kicks her to the curb. Now, why I describe this is this truth, this agape love. Love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And this last phrase, for God is love. If I could impart to you today faith in the face of unbelief, the real unbelief of the world is not believing the love of God. Because the love of God is demonstrated at the cross of Jesus Christ. The real sin of unbelief is not believing the love that God has for the world. Faith and love work together. If we're very honest, faith, hope, and love are really inseparable. In fact, when Paul would write to the church, he says these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Hope of the mercy of God, that when you die, there actually is a heaven that God would give mercy and would, by the blood of Jesus Christ, accept you as righteous and grant you by grace an inheritance in heaven. Now, when I describe this to you, and I say unto you, there's giants in this land. 2 Corinthians 10 describes that there are strongholds of the enemy. 1 John describes the spirit of Antichrist in the world. There's spirits, like that. There's evil in this world. And if I could describe unto you, we are well able to overcome. I said, let us rise up and take that which God has given unto us. Let's receive what he has given us, and let's rise up in faith and believe in the face of unbelief. Now, if you could do the numbers, and I don't know what the numbers really are, but do you suppose there are more people who believe the love of God in the Kiwana and have received the love of God and then are well able to overcome the lies of the enemy and could rise up and say, we will be well able to overcome and have a place where the love of God is shared freely? By the numbers, are there more people who believe the love of God or more people who are hardened in unbelief? If you like ratios, the ratio for Caleb was 6 to 1, right? 5 to 1, right? 10, 2, I can do some math, 12, 2, 10, 10 to 2, 5 to 1, 5 to 1 odds. 5 in unbelief versus the 1 in belief. Now, strengthen us today. Here's what I'm here to do. Stir you up and strengthen you to believe what God has said. Here's what he said. God is love. God is love. Now, when you just receive that in 1 John 4:8, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's the demonstration of the love of the cross. Do you believe that? You go out and tell someone you need Jesus Christ to be saved. Right? You need Jesus Christ to go to heaven, and they might look at you and say, what? I do not. As you describe this, this is the truth. The love of God is manifested toward us because God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Thus describing the love of the cross. His love, the death of Jesus Christ, pays for propitiation. He pays for all the sin, thus making us right with God. Now, describing this love, we're to then receive that love and then give it out. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. I don't waste any time reading those books of those who said they went to heaven. It's good sort of like popular, you know, pseudo-Christian bookstore kind of stuff. You know what I do with all those people who said they went to heaven? Said, did not. It's not true. See, do you realize the deception that's just simply sown to get us to what? Anything to get us off of this wonderful truth of the love of God and to have faith that God loves his people and he's not going to show himself until it's time. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. Isn't that the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world? You think about when you believe and receive Jesus and he gives his Holy Spirit to come and live within you. How do I know that I know God? Spirit's within. How do I know that God loves me? Cross of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to demonstrate for you today the faith that I have in the face of unbelief. And as a pastor, Caleb, right? A Caleb of a man had faith in the face of unbelief. Could one man withstand? Well, it was a 5-to-1 report. Do you know that there are only 5 major news sources now in the whole United States? Used to be 50. You used to get truth. Now those 5 simply agree together. This is how we'll present the information. Do you realize that it takes one in the truth to withstand the 5, but the 5 affect the multitudes? This is the world we live in. It's no different. But we, having faith in the face of unbelief, and I'm centered upon this truth today. God loves you. Absolutely true that God would send you to a place to live and endure hardship. What if you're enduring 40 years of suffering because somebody else rebelled against God? Can you handle that? Can you handle that the sufferings you're going through have nothing to do to you with you, but everything with somebody else's rebellion? That God would cause you to wait this long to rise up and overcome. Because when Caleb gets into the land, what does he do? He kept his strength. He says, I'm as strong now at 85 as I was at 45. Bring it on. Give me the giants. I want that place. Now, what type of man like that? Well, man who's not of this world. What type of a woman? Okay, you're starting to listen to this. Believes the love that God has for her. Isn't Christian marriage really to be the most wonderful, beautiful witness that a woman is loved because the man receives the command to agape her? What an interesting thing. That truly, this love that God has for us and that a man could truly receive the love from God. You think of how crazy the world is, and I want you to think it's crazy. Don't think it's cool. The world's not cool. The world actually is corrupt. So when the world puts their AI into their, they're using their artificial intelligence to harvest the knowledge of the internet, what do I know about what AI is going to return? It's going to contain that which the world put into it. Huh. So that wisdom that they're going to bring is not going to be of God. Now, as I describe all this, I got to keep reading in scripture. And how much time do I have? Do I have till 2?
Sure.
3? What time's lunch? Is it lunch
when
or dinner?
When we serve it.
When we serve it. Keep going? Okay. Faith in the face of unbelief. Let's continue in this. Right? 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You hear that? Of all that John could come up with, he says, this is the testimony of Jesus, the Son of God. The Father sent the Son to the world to die on that cross to demonstrate his love to save sinners. Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that's what this is all about. I confess openly, freely in front of all of you and the world. I declare publicly, Jesus is the Son of God. We have Muslims who have a mosque 100 yards from our front door to their front door. And I'm just praying and waiting and asking that I can get in that front door by invite and tell them that Jesus is the Son of God. Our prayer is that they would ask to have it taught and understood and declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when I describe that, their false god that they worship, they have strongholds. You think the plight of women and children is bad in say, many like individual homes, that man is cruel, he's harsh? Try a whole system of Islam that does what to women? A lot of those men unofficially have four wives. They have a wife in Fargo, they have a wife in Atlanta, wife and children in Fargo-Moorhead, a wife and children in another city. They have four of them around the country. And they're all on welfare, and we're paying for all that as a nation. Now, I describe all that. It's just to help you understand, right? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. It does make a difference. I am born of God. Why am I so interested in getting in that front door to tell him about the Son of God? So he can save them. There's a whole people who don't know about the love of God. Now, 1 John 4:16, and this is where I get my faith in the face of unbelief. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. You know Satan's big lie? If God loved you, life would be easier. It's such a simple lie, isn't it? It's a simple lie. If God loved you, right? And we have to expose the lie. So all I'm walking in is Ephesians 5 exposing the darkness. Satan's lies need to be exposed with the truth. Here's the truth. Whenever you hear, you know, and from within, you're like, oh, this is hard. And you start to question God's love. You go back to this verse. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. We are well able to go into any situation and overcome it, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as I equip the saints for the work of ministry, as I edify the body of Christ and we practice this love one to another, I'm here to let you know up here at Calvary Chapel in the Keweenaw Peninsula that God loves you. And I want you to not just be stirred up to that, yeah, I know he loves me. I want you to be one who will receive this word, and you could say, I have known and believed that the love that God has to us. Faith in the face of unbelief. You know, Satan's big lie is simply this: God doesn't love you. It's that straightforward. He tried this of old with Job. If you take away all the stuff you gave him, and if you take away his, you know, you take away all of his physical health, he wanted to kill him. God says, you can't kill him, but you can cause him to suffer. And then this is played out in the book of Job. Satan's study of mankind is, if you take away all of his stuff and you take away just bring him right to the edge of his life, every one of them will curse God. God says, have you considered my servant Job? See, Job's an example of faith in the face of unbelief. All of his little helpers come by and say, oh, we'll tell you what God's like. No, we'll tell you what God's like. No, you won't tell us what God's like. How do we know what God's like? Jesus. You ever stop and consider the wonderful revelation of Jesus? When I describe this, I have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and he in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, because it isn't about the difficulty in this world, is it? It's not about the trial, the tribulation, the suffering in this world. I full on expect to see Job in heaven. Right? He's going to be there. He's an example. You stop to consider, those who suffered in the Old Testament are given as an example of us for two things: patience and endurance. I'm using their patience and endurance. Caleb, 40 years. Job suffered greatly physically, personally. And we're fighting this war, and the war is this: God is love. God is love. Now, sin destroys, corrupts. And you know what Satan does? Satan deceivingly got mankind to sin, and he blames God for it. You ever stop and consider how twisted that is? That Satan could say, oh, God's not good. He did this. If God were so good, why are you suffering? You can answer, why are you suffering? Because of sin that's in the world. And if you hear that and you know the truth, no, God is love. God is love. But God in his wisdom allows this suffering to prove this out within, that when we believe the love of God, contrary to everything we're feeling, experiencing, thinking, all the lies that are in your head, hey, you're hearing voices in your head, so do I. You do understand what's taught in 1 John 4 is that Satan has a way to sow a lie and get you to believe something that's just not true. If you could go out and tell everybody in the Keweenaw, if you could have one thing to tell them, what would you tell them? I would tell them that the love of God through Jesus Christ to save you from hell, right? I teach you the love of the cross. Now, when I talk like that, the world wouldn't understand that, would they? Why is that important? If I could just convince people God loves you. How do I know God loves you? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a whole church that would go out and spread that kind of love, the agape love? That there would be a church who could convince the women who have been unloved in their life that there is a God who loves them. Or what I'm uncovering a lot now is grown men who grew up in a home without a father, and they don't even know if they were ever loved by. Men and women now growing up who don't know the love of God. Just this truth. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. Boldness in the day of judgment. You know what I'm going to do and stand before God? Am I going to stand before him and say the great stuff that I did? Lord, that one time I went up to the UP and taught the Bible study, does that get me in? See, those are works-based, right? What am I going to stand before God and say? God loves me. I've received the mercy and the love of the cross of Jesus Christ. If I could convince you that boldness in judgment, perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Look at 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm going to speak very frankly to you. There will be people in church who say, I love you, but when it comes out to actually loving with agape, saying, I was wrong, will you please forgive me? Hey, I lied. So expect what? You'll have liars come through and they will say things. And when I was here in April, and again, what God was doing, and I know what he was describing, that we're no longer to live like the unbelievers live in the vanity of their mind, their foolish heart darkened. And the call was to come and put off the old man and put on the new. Do you understand? You understand, you're reading this. If a man hates his brother, he's a liar. So it's very okay when you experience, when called out, to come to the light and express, I really do love you. Will you forgive me for my sin? And when we confess and agree with God and we come to the light, what are we saying? We're saying, I am so sorry that I lied to you before, but now it's in the light. Will you forgive me for lying about you and to you? Will you forgive me for sinning? Will you forgive me for damaging this relationship to the point? But what do people usually do? Same thing they do here, same thing they do back in Fargo. I'm out of here, man. Do you realize that people come in as liars, and in the sin of unbelief, they leave? You think they're something else and they're not? And when I describe it in this context, it's because of this. If I say I love God, that requires me to do what? Love my brother. If I'm going to stand up in boldness and say, like Caleb, I'll give you another one now, like Stephen. Stephen, faith in the face of unbelief. What it cost Stephen? Cost him everything. But I'll tell you something, he already gave everything. How can something which you've already lost, how can anybody take that from you? If you've already lost your life for Jesus Christ, he said this truth, right? He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life will keep it for all of eternity. You only have people intersecting in church at the same time, and you think they've all lost their life for Christ, only to find out later on what? They were trying to keep it. Trying to keep it, and through lies and deceit, and they didn't truly. The question is, do I love my brother? We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So it kind of goes like this, right? Do you hear about what's going on over at that church and what they do over there? And this is what they're all about. And I don't want to be with them anymore. The man who's saying that, or the woman who's saying that, is what? That's the lying voice. You hear that? That's the lying voice to cast a shadow and doubt and to get someone else to think, oh, they're not able to overcome. You realize this? Sinners come to church, and I'm telling you by faith, what? We're well able to overcome our own, what? Lack of love. If we'll do one simple thing, if we'll love God. If we will believe the love that God has for us, we'll receive that love, and then we'll give out that love. This is not complicated, but it sure is deep. Because the sin of unbelief is what has to be addressed. Because sin hardens hearts through that deceitfulness, and a hard heart that's hardened in unbelief. Hear the irony of this. Stephen is contending with the synagogue of the freedmen. They should be at liberty. They should be free. Former slaves. And he is arguing with them of the liberty, of the freedom in the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they are saying, wait, uh-uh. And they rush at him and kill him. Now, why describe this? Who won that day? Do you guys know that Stephen overcame this world? Do you know what he saw before he entered into eternity? I know what he saw because he told us what he saw. That he saw the Son of God stand. An amazing thing. The Son of God who's on the throne, sit it down, because why? Work's done. He's just waiting for what? The call to come back. And when I describe this to you, Stephen has faith in the face of unbelief, and he believes the love that God has for him, that even if he is killed, what does he know? He gets to go to heaven. Now, when I talk about this type of love this way, how can he love God whom he has not seen? By doing what? Having faith in the face of unbelief. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So 1 John 5, the next chapter, but only one verse for us today, 5:4. So if you were going somewhere else and you were wondering, you're like, yeah, he believes the word of God, I want you to believe this verse today. I want you to read it and believe the love that God has for you, because this is my whole thing. Like Caleb, I stand up for others and I say we are well able to overcome. I hear people's stories and I say, God forgives sin. You are well able to overcome this because this is sin and God forgives sin. And that what everybody else did to you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Do you know that as a believer being born of God, you're going to have the same trials as the unbelievers? You're going to have the same negative balance in your bank account from time to time. Right? You're going to have the same car accident, broke the leg, my dog died, my kids don't want to be around me as the unbelievers do. You understand all that? And having this truth is that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is Son of God. Now, I read these words, I've read them many times, and we can treat them as empty words, or what I'm calling us today, to faith. If he's the Son of God, and God loves the world and sent his Son to die on the cross, and God's love is demonstrated on the cross, and the Son of God died on the cross, I'm calling us to faith today, and I'm stirring us up to this. I know and believe the love that God has for us, to us. I know and believe it. And if I could fully convince you, we are well able to overcome. This is 1 John 5:4. What overcomes this world is our faith. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that's powerful. You having that faith and believe that he's the Son of God, you know what you're saying? I believe the love that God has for me. This is the one unbelief. Why wouldn't everybody receive the love of the Son of God? If they could understand, see, hear, know, everybody would receive it, right? In our on this side, having been born of God, we're like, how could you not want to be born of God? And so we have one task. We're to have this truth and this faith that believes the love that God has for us, demonstrated on the cross that saved me from sin, that I can take that good news out to others and absolutely convince them of the love that God has for them. God does not need ministry machines out of you. He needs a vessel. He does not need you to produce love. He just needs you to distribute. You don't produce a thing. I don't produce a thing. I've never been in a factory, but I like gardens. I like receiving the seed of God's word into my heart, receiving the love of God, receiving the Spirit of God, and truly having the liberty by the Spirit of God. Those freedmen were not freedmen that Stephen argued with. They were in bondage to sin, and they had evil hearts of unbelief, like those that kept Caleb and the men out of and the people of God out of the promises of God. You know how many people are kept from heaven by lying, deceiving, hateful men and women? It's that straightforward. And then some of them are even spokesmen for God. God is not like that. False doctrines, false prophets, false teachers. The world is filled with them. But we get to be such a simple vessel, a single vessel that knows and believes the love that God has for us, an overcoming vessel. Do you believe? Right? You let that sort of settle in. Do you believe the love that God has to us? Do you believe that God loves you, that He would not just allow trials, sufferings, difficulties, get this one, sometimes He would actually direct them into your life to perfect a deeper work than what you can see? Why? Because at first, when you receive the love of God, it's a shallow love. Isn't that true? My initial love with God was very shallow. I didn't know what or believe it very much. You know why Satan goes after new believers so hard? Because if he can pull out that shallow love, right? Many times there's an initial testing right away. Is this true? We had a guy who God was drawing supernaturally to church, and he started to come Sundays and Wednesdays, and one guy just, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. He comes to church, gets saved, and he's out the door. Now, we pray for him, but I know what's going on is Satan is working overtime to try to uproot that little plant. See, Satan doesn't care about the manufacturing process. He likes to get Christians onto factory building, machine type driven things. You know what God wants to do? He wants you today to receive the love of the truth, the seed of God's word that says God is love. And he wants to take that into your heart and cause that to grow by faith, that you would know and believe the love that God has to us, and that you would be a vessel. You know how I know you're a vessel? Because you're all beat up. Right? A chosen vessel. Do you ever understand what Paul, the Apostle Paul, was called out of? And God says, he's a chosen vessel of mine. He must suffer. And he says it later on, he says, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. Could you imagine a wonderful thing that you could go out and live life and God would be pleased to reveal his son in you to another? What an amazing faith in the face of unbelief. Let me illustrate for you. Church of Philadelphia, letters, Revelation, churches. They're the church that is called, that they have faith, right? They have kept the word of God, not denied his name. That's faith. In the face of the churches of Laodicea that did what? We're now lukewarm and Jesus is outside the church. I would much rather have Jesus in church with the little power and an open door rather than a church filled up with a mixture of unbelief. Now, let me remind you that the Church of Philadelphia is called to be the church in the end that has faith in the face of unbelief. Did you guys hear a sound at the door, right? That's Laodicea. He knocks at the door, but they don't hear his voice anymore. Now, did you hear the Holy Spirit's voice today? I know that you did. I study this. I'm like, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. God loves me. God loves you. Your sufferings actually describe to you the love that God has for you personally. Now, Psalm 33 declares that God fashions each heart individually. Or if you're a King James, God fashions every heart alike. Do you know that God looks down from heaven and he sees the eyes of the Lord on every place, keeping watch on the evil and good, that the God, the living God, the Lord has made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. What am I describing to us? Faith in the face of unbelief that says, I don't care what I feel. I don't care how bad this gets. I don't care how much suffering. If it takes 40 years for me to convince the people in the city where I dwell that God loves him, if it takes me 40 years of praying, suffering, just to get that open door to share the gospel, what if I'm sharing the gospel when I'm 84, 94 years old, 54 plus 40? What if it takes 40 more years? And at 94, the invite comes for me to explain to the imam and the others in the mosque about the love of the Son of God. I'll wait 40 years. Caleb waited 40 years. Stephen waited 40 minutes. Amazing stuff, isn't it? I just ask you today, do you know and believe the love that God has to us? And then make it personal. Between you and God. And you can tell him, right? Since his eyes are in every place and his ears are open to those that love him, then tell him, God, I believe the love that you have for me. I will endure trials. I will endure suffering. Deepen your love in my heart. Do you realize that this love of God that is shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us, what deepens the love is the very trial and tribulation. If it was so easy, you know how shallow our love would still be? We'd go around and tell everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And those would become empty words. What God does with a vessel, he calls them to suffering, trial, and difficulty to deepen that truth in faith to know and believe the love that God has. So when you're sent to somebody and you say, I need you to understand that God loves you. What's going on in your life right now is sin, and God forgives sin. And God wants to forgive your sin, and you need to come and receive the love of the truth. When we talk like that, we're going to be strange to some people, but the Holy Spirit's going to send you right to somebody, and they're like, you're right, I need to be saved. So may today be for us this very wonderful truth. Church of Faith, vessels. Calvary Chapel of the Keweenaw, a vessel that God could pour his love into you. Think of this, every Sunday service, every midweek service, you come here and you worship God and you go out to do the work of ministry. You come in and surrender and you come out and you serve and you serve in the gospel. You know what he wants to carry out? You want to be a vessel to take faith and love and hope. We should be the strangest people to this world. If people find you strange, you wear it like a badge. Right? You talk funny. Why is this so important? Why aren't you complaining about your leg that's been ripped off? I'm not saying that's you, but isn't that what it is? Everybody expects that when difficulty comes, you will be actually whining, complaining, and mad at God. What happens when you as a Christian say, I'm not mad at God, I'm in love with God. Because this wasn't God that did this. Satan, sin, that's the destructive part of the world. God is love, and he's what? I'm out of here one day. So what if the ground's hard? Isn't this the reality? Isn't this the reality? Hearts hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3 and 4, sin of unbelief. What am I calling us to first? Let's pray and soften hearts. Let us who have received the love of God do what? Pray for those who haven't believed and received that God would... We need a move of God. We need a power that's beyond us. How do we get in touch with the power of God that's beyond us? Through prayer. Do you love the people that live on your block or live in your neighborhood more than God does? Absolutely not. So how do you get in touch with God who loves them perfectly to get you to love them with the faith in the face of unbelief that can say, what? I know and believe the love that God has for you. I'm compelled to tell you this because I know and believe the love that God has for you. So, Father in heaven, we ask now that the wonderful word of God would enter our hearts and be believed and received upon there. We believe what we've read today, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We believe that God is love. We believe that liars will come through and say they love God, but they will truly hate and not walk in love. So we receive this truth that this is your church, and we receive your love today. Lord, I pray today that as we're here, come and fill us up again with the Holy Spirit, and as it were, the living water would fill up these vessels with the very love of God, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Lord, that we could sense, know, believe, feel, trust, and have this love that surpasses knowledge. We could have a love and a joy and a peace that in the midst of our suffering, Lord, we'd be vessels fit for the Master's use to carry out the wonderful love of the gospel. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Lord bless you.